right, everybody. Welcome to Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh. And I am very pleased to have a visitor with me today. So we are going to learn some things from my friend and relatively new acquaintance, Amanda Arnold. Well, hello, Amanda. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell everybody just a little bit about how I met you, because as typical, I meet people sometimes before I meet them. Because I was coming here, and people, if anybody's been really tuning into some of the last podcast episodes, they probably know that I've been spending the winter on Isla Mujeres, a little island off the coast of Cancun in Mexico. And I knew when I was coming here that I was coming for my own healing and my own spiritual development and practices. And so I went on some Isla sites, looking around, learning about the place a little bit more before I got here. And I saw a profile and connected with this lovely woman named Amanda Arnold. And so shortly after I got here, we connected, and she started talking to me about, well, different things that she's been learning about, but particularly about human design and the gene keys. And so I love learning about spiritual practices and how people are doing on the spiritual path, you know, what their path has looked like. And so thanks for coming, Amanda. And I would love if you would just start with sharing just a little bit about, like, you know, where'd you come from? Who are you?
Well, thank you, Kayleen, for inviting me here to be able to speak a little bit about my own journey and how I came to Isla Mujeres and how gene keys and human design has helped bring me closer to my own self. I decided to come here about a week before I turned 40. And so I was in Playa del Carmen for a wedding. And then after the wedding, I decided to come to Isla Mujeres. I had never heard, been to the island before, but I had clients from Minneapolis who lived here. And so I was curious. And I was already kind of deep into a spiritual journey, doing ceremonies and just connecting to my own self. And so I came here, and that week was the most magical week I can imagine. There was a lot of healing, a lot of just aha moments that I was having. And it was back in 2021. In February, so we were kind of at the very end of, call it the COVID era.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely ready to get out. And so to be able to come to another country and to be able to feel free and to breathe, there was something about that.
Oh, that space to breathe and explore. I mean, I think that's one of the things that's drawn me here, too. And as we were talking one day, the awareness, too, that this island is called the Isle of Women, that there is, you know, feels like there's a call, or some people really resonate with the feminine energy of this island. And so anyway, you live here now, right? You didn't just,
yes,
like come down for a week or...
So, yeah. So after that miraculous week here leading up to my 40th birthday, I went home and a lot of things started falling apart. Friendships were kind of like slowly disappearing. But within that first month, I walked around the frozen Mississippi River with my dog and I said out loud, "This is the last frozen river I'm going to see." And I'm getting a little emotional because I just put it out there. And so I went back and I looked at what needed to happen, what I needed to do to make this happen. And it just all fell into place. I came back to the island in May to look for a place to live, to make sure that I felt comfortable being on my own, because the first time I had a friend here, but the second time I knew I was going to be here by myself. So I wanted, mm-hmm, to explore, to say, do I feel safe living on the island in another country by myself? And after that week, I said, okay, I can do this. So I went back, I sold my business, I sold everything I own. And within 6 months of visiting for the first time, I was back in September of 2021.
That's a huge leap. I mean, how do you find the courage, I don't know, what was that like for you to make that kind of a leap out of like, oh my God, I'm changing my life?
It purely was trust. I don't know what it was. I already kind of had slowly had plans in the back of my mind of how money was going to come in once I got here, because I maybe had $10,000 in my bank account. And people are like, are you crazy to only have that amount of money tied to you to think you can just move to a new country and live, you know? And I had a couple connections of people who are still some clients that money was still coming in, but those slowly dwindled away, those connections. And so, yeah, I had to trust in something greater than myself.
So how does doing that, or how did you encounter then this connection with the gene keys and human design? How did that become such a part of your process?
So I actually was introduced to human design actually the first week I was here on the island. My friends that were clients and had a house here invited me over, and they were like, I bet you're a projector. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, and so they said, it's human design. And so they got me all intrigued. And I'm like, okay. So I went home and I looked up human design, and yep, definitely I was a projector. And so that made me really interested in learning more about what did a projector mean, energy type. What went along with that?
Sure. I think it's very fascinating too, because I'm thinking back even to my arrival on the island and different things that came to me right away. I mean, it just feels like the universe was in motion saying, hey girl, you know, you're here now, you want to do this spiritual study and path, so are you listening?
And I truly feel that's what happened. I felt like being here on the island, so many things were coming at me, not necessarily through like psychic gifts or anything like that, but through other people. You know, they were like introductions. They were like just kind of like showing me. Uh-huh. And I have always, since I've been here, and I tell everyone that comes here and works with me, that the outside is just a reflection. It is constantly trying to show you something, signs and symbols, and to help you get into alignment with your path, to show you how to get back to who we are is just love. And so now knowing that and recognizing that everything has already been placed out in front of me, almost on a silver platter sometimes, it's just, are you aware of it? Mm-hmm. And so the human design and the gene key started literally from the first time I came to the island. And so I started looking up human design, which was originally the first tool. And then gene keys came from human design. But before human design was out, we had astrology. We had I Ching, 64 hexagrams. So that was already, what do you want to call it? Developed or
Yeah, they were working together somehow, or that was already, I don't know how to say it either, but are you saying then too that like even human design, I mean, it was kind of the foundation of some of this, but it itself was even built on some principles of astrology and principles of the I Ching, which is the 64 hexagrams from this, you know, Chinese practice, right? That is,
yep,
probably as ancient as any of the methods that we've
explored. Okay. Exactly. And so I'm going to say this first and foremost, and I am not a professional in either one of the tools, but I love talking about it. I love learning more and more about it. And I don't think anyone will ever become so proficient in the gene keys specifically, because it was never meant to totally be understood.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant for each person to take their own journey and their own contemplation and learn about themselves.
Well, I love that. And what I love about that too is I also think that as we evolve spiritually, the tools will shift. There'll be more things added in there. There'll be some new development that takes the gene keys and our understanding of how we're connected physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We're going to understand all that on new and new levels all the time.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Right. And so people can understand, the human design came first, And human design is a little bit more systematic. There's 5 different energy types, and then off each energy type, you have explanations of how you work best, how you can stay in alignment based on your energy type. And I think it's so important that we understand that not everybody is the same. Mm-hmm. Just as same as women are not the same as men. The processing and the way they process life is
their brain structure,
different.
Their chemical makeup, everything.
Their energy is so different.
Yeah.
And now knowing that, there's also now you can think 5 different types of energies that are running around this world trying to work together. And the more we can understand that there's different energies and they all need different things, we can start to be a little bit more compassionate to humanity.
That would be good, huh? That's a good plan. Yeah, no, and I think that's such an important point because there's something about our culture that likes to put us in little boxes and make us all the same. And we're not. I've come to really appreciate the uniqueness of every dang person. You know, everybody has a story. To me, the miraculous idea of uniqueness in that we, our hair is all different, you know, we have different fingerprints. How can that be? Our voices, you know, we are not the same as another person on the planet. I have 7 brothers and sisters, and we talked different times about how our experiences were different. We grew up in the same family, same genetics, I mean, everything.
It's perspective.
We're unique.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of even toying with that idea as far as, you know, 5 different energy types, but kind of consciousness types, soul types. I mean,
yeah.
I think there's lots of ways that we can recognize that, yeah, we're each a unique person.
Yeah, and just with the 5 energy types, now you also have lines that are different within each. And the lines are kind of like our conscious and our unconscious personalities of how we live our life, like how the thing. So I'm a 1-3. 1 is considered the expert. I love to seek knowledge. I want to know as much as I can. And that would be my conscious kind of profile. And my unconscious is the experimenter. They're more the martyr, the one that has to experience everything so then I learn from that experience. So failure and success has definitely been a pattern in my life that I've had to understand that there is no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many different tools you can learn about yourself to give yourself more compassion, truly. These tools help me more than anything than help outside of me, because the more compassionate I can be about myself, the more I can share that with the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, if we're going to beat ourselves up every time we fall short somewhere or see something that we're not really fond of about ourselves, I mean, I think that's not doing us any good service.
Absolutely.
So to be able to like own it and be with it, and that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. So started with this human design thing, and then now we've
So then at the same time, I had explored both of them. So I was introduced because I had another friend who I was introducing the human design to. She said, well, have you heard about the gene keys? I'm like, no, what's that? So she had me download my hologenetic profile. And I had a bunch of spheres with numbers. And I looked at it, I'm like, what is this? What does it mean? So I tried to go in, and she's like, it's a lot of information. I said, I see that. It's a lot of information. So I bought the book. I tried to look at someone else on who's already explored and gave you cheat sheets to learn. But I just was not into it. It was just too much information at the time that I had first been introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of laid there for a little bit. I did not truly tap into more gene key information until I moved here. And I was already in the middle of some deep shadow work. I had done some plant medicine. And the plant medicine actually helped me to truly go a little deeper and want to contemplate a lot more and to spend more time with myself and going in. And at that point, I literally was digesting the gene keys, and I was realizing that the gene keys is like living transmission. The words that come from Richard Rudd, who is the the man who, the mystic who brought the gene keys into living transmission for all of us to read and to enjoy and grow from. His words and the way he uses, he's a poet. And so they moved me. And when I would cry, and I mean, I just knew that my emotions were directly connected to the gene keys. Mm-hmm. And so I dived in deep because I was ready for it. Mm-hmm. So this is 4 years later. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to dive deeper into what the gene keys had to offer me for my own growth.
I know that when we first started talking about this, I had a similar reaction as far as, oh my gosh, there's so much information here, I don't really know where to start. And yet, in some ways, you were able to help me break it down into, well, even just looking at maybe these few pieces or something. So how do you help people with that? Do you have suggestions on how can people start exploring this as a method? And I will say the same thing too about like when I started learning astrology. I mean, it was like, oh my God, there's just so much here. I don't even know where to begin. But it's almost like knowing that it is a process of, I want to say, understanding it intellectually, but there is a bigger piece even of kind of living it and letting it come alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, for anyone that's just starting and is interested in going deeper with the gene keys, first I would suggest printing out your hologenetic profile off of genekeys.com.
Genekeys.com. That's an easy place.
Genekeys.com. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's gene with G-E-N-E, not J-E-A-N. Uh-huh. And keys, K-E-Y-S. .com. Very simple, easy. Download that. And then I want you to, so there's three, it's called the Golden Path, and there are three sequences. You have the activation sequence, which is kind of who you are. It's your conscious sun and ascendant, and your unconscious sun and ascendant. Hmm. Or rising earth sign. So in human design and in gene keys, they call that your earth sign, the same as rising, ascendant okay. sign. And so those are the activation sequence. And so my first thing is to look at those four. And with the book, or if you don't have the book, you can listen to each gene key on YouTube. Or if you have Spotify, you can look up gene keys. In the, now they have audio, the audio book section, and it's also in there as well. And to listen to that gene key.
Mm-hmm. So to kind of break it down, when you get this profile, which you can get for free online, to be able just to sit with that then and start looking at some of these individual pieces.
Yes. So each gene key is made up of three frequencies. The shadow frequency is the lower frequency. The gift is the elevated frequency where we should be living our life in alignment with who we are. And then the Siddhi is considered our genius, our superpower. And that frequency is kind of like when you're in Christ consciousness. That's where you, that's like the ascended energy. And so through our life, you'll notice with each gene key that we go back and forth between the shadow and the gift. And so when you're looking, when you're doing shadow work, if you've started to go into shadow work, what I love is that for every shadow, the illumination is the gift. Mm-hmm. When you illuminate that lower frequency, you then are vibrating at that gift frequency.
And would that work conversely in a way that is the more you work with that gift energy, the more you may free yourself from the shadow?
It's always going to be there. It's just realization.
It just has a little less power over you, though, as you...
Exactly. Yes. Just less uh-huh. power. You realize there's more of a realization that I don't want to be in that frequency
uh-huh.
anymore.
Right.
But look at the blessings and the miracles that come through this gift.
Well, and I appreciate this method also as far as the importance of shadow work. someone who has worked with people in psychotherapy for such a long time, I really believe that that's our stuck places. It's those core wounds that cause us the most difficulty. Can't just sugarcoat everything and, like, I want to say, even love and light ourselves out of it. At the same time, I just want to acknowledge and the importance of doing shadow work. We have to be able to look at the pieces of ourselves that we aren't as happy with, or that we don't do as well as we'd like all the time, or that we know that we want to make some changes on. Then we have this greater result that can come forward as we pay attention to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I want people to think, to realize that this is also a gentle way to do shadow work. Mm-hmm. It's gentle because you're taking the time to contemplate about yourself, you know, and you're giving yourself the ability to look back, to connect the dots at those times, and to choose not to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really what shadow work is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's about seeing those parts of yourself that you are unconscious. Like, I don't want anyone to think that they are that. We are never our shadow. It's just a frequency that we're unconscious that we play out.
And usually which has been, I want to say, imposed on us or layered on us, again,
absolutely,
through cultural conditioning,
environment,
or genetics. Yeah, so many places. And what I like about this conversation, too, is I think frequency. Oh, it's just such an important word. And we don't, I think, always give it enough credibility, because what I hear is that as we lift in frequency, and that's a lot of what we talk about with rising into fifth dimension consciousnesses, we're trying to lift our vibe. And so the more of this work that we do in our shadow space, it allows us to move into this higher frequency space then, which is, I mean, life-changing. It's life-changing for us. It's life-changing for our impact on the world around us. And it really is just a matter of helping ourselves become aware and not get caught in the heavier frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, so frequency, energy, I think those are the things that we will be working with. I mean, that's the medicine of the future. I mean, these are the pieces that I think as a species we will be understanding in new and better ways.
And I, you know, something that's coming to me is that it's the fact that our human mind wants to be able to place a word, a definition to something, when frequency and energy has no definition, it has no word to define what it is, right? Because what is bad, what is good, there is no such thing. So human design and human gene keys really, well, especially gene keys, has given you a little bit of that to allow you to understand what these, where you're at when you're in these different frequencies, mm-hmm, to help you become more aware. It's just a beautiful tool to help people say, oh, aha, because not everyone is sensitive enough to feel energy. And so once you start to take this path of inner and start really taking off the layers and deconditioning, which behind all of this whole journey that I'm on that I didn't realize, I came to Isla to decondition myself, to become the projector energy type. Because out of all energy types, the projectors are the most conditioned because our auric field is the most penetratable. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to be able to come here to really step into all that I am becoming still, you know, on this journey. And so this has just been a beautiful way for me to become more sensitive to humanity.
Well, and I've heard you talk in some of our conversations to the idea of emptying. I mean, that sounds like what that process has been for you, is releasing some of these pieces that have not been in your best interest or helping you support you to your highest good.
I always tell people want to fill your cup. But you can't really enjoy what's in that cup until you fully empty the cup.
Well, and if you try to put stuff in an already full cup, what's going to happen? It just flows over the side. You don't really get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I can see the need to empty that space, to just release and almost become like a fresh container ready for a new things to fill.
And most people fill their cup with material items.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I talk about emptying my cup and filling my cup, it's with energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm emptying the low frequency, the trauma, the wounds, everything that I held in, my emotions and feelings that were never expressed. I've been emptying them since I've been here on Isla. The energy here has, the divine feminine energy has really held me and made me feel comfortable to be able to just let go.
I hear you saying that your practice with this human design and gene keys and just your willingness on this spiritual path, but you know, all these things come together, but how would you speak to how they have impacted your life?
I mean, if you would have known me 2 years ago when I was on the island still, I'm not the same person. I'm not even the same person that came here the first time. I didn't realize what I was stepping into. I just heard the call. And I like to share more love. I like to look at life from a different perspective. I really like to take more time for myself to be able to just spend time alone.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be FOMO.
Fear of missing out?
Fear of missing out, and now I'm JOMO.
Oh, okay.
Joy of missing out.
Okay.
I find that I don't need to work a 9-to-5 job. I am perfectly fine sitting on my couch, enjoying a cup of coffee, and taking a couple deep breaths in, and listening to music, and not having anything planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost I've let go of what time really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I didn't have a couple plans without the week, I've thought about what would it feel like if there was no such thing as a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday. And every morning the sun came up and the sun went down, and that's all that mattered. How beautiful life would be.
As you're talking about that, some of the words that come into my mind are things like peace.
Presence.
Self-acceptance. Presence.
Yeah.
Presence. I mean, to be present, to just life.
I don't need a lot of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yet, in talking about the shift that you made coming here, there are probably some people that would say, oh boy, she sacrificed a lot.
I never called it a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was just walking the path meant for me. I like to just be in the energy, and I like to be mindful of myself, but also read the room, read the energy that I'm with, and make my decisions based on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sensitivity, coming back to feeling what's around me.
Well, so that's another important word, I think, is sensitivity. I think that's what's happening even as we rise in consciousness, as we become more sensitive to the world around us, to incoming information, to, I don't know, all of it. I just think that that's an important word to keep in mind. I think we are being sensitized.
Yeah.
And how do we create space for a life that is able to hold, I don't know, to have that, you know, set boundaries where necessary and all of those kinds of things. Well, I suppose we better get back to the gene keys here a little bit. But I know that you've talked about, well, I guess one thing I want to make, I think is important to be very clear about, is how these gene keys are really connected to our genetic code. So we are actually talking about, we are physical carriers of a component.
Yes.
Of this.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody can go look at their profile and find out their specific gene keys and read a lot about them. And yet it sounds like on a universal level, we have another experience of the gene keys. And there's probably two aspects of this to talk about. One, the fact that we have, on a regular changing basis, every 5 days, I think it is, we have a new influx of a gene key.
Yes.
And I think, from what I understand now, it's a very important one for people overall.
Yes, I mean, they're all important, but this one is actually a very powerful one that is connected to the collective wounds.
Okay.
That each one of us had brought into this world when we were born. Right now, we are trying in the process of healing these wounds.
Collectively. And yeah, and I always think, oh yeah, they have to come up in our face. We have to be able to see them and acknowledge them. And it goes back to that self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that honesty that we need to bring to ourselves about what do we really need to address. Shadow work.
And mm-hmm. The thing I realize is that, like, yes, if you look at the gene keys, there's 1, 2 that has been a big pattern in your life of the collective wound that you brought in. But really, we carry all of them. Mm-hmm. And it shows up differently for each one of us mm-hmm. in our life. And so really, it's about seeing it and recognizing it and saying, I no longer want to do that. Stopping that pattern. It's stopping that and healing it.
So right now, this gene key is being activated for across humanity to help us work through our woundings, our innate kind of patterns of wounding that we all carry. And what I find very interesting about that is it just feels like that's so clear in looking at the world around us. I had to look up and see, okay, well, what are these core wounds? I want to share them with everybody because I think we can all relate. And these are the places that we don't want to look at in our own lives.
Well, let's share what gene key it is as well.
Okay, all right.
So there's 64 gene keys, and each one of them will have its time to be transited in the sun.
Talking about aligning it up with the whole zodiac wheel.
Exactly.
You know, the 360 degree
exactly,
wheel
around. Exactly, the mandala of us. So it is directly connected to the energy that's coming down from astrology, and it's affecting all of us. And so this gene key is gene key 22. It is truly the highest divine feminine energy coming down for us.
Well, you got to know how much I appreciate hearing that, because I've been talking for so long about the emergence of the divine feminine. You know, we have cosmic support for this, and yet it's coming alive through each of us. And so I feel validated, maybe even, or something, to hear this is such an important piece right now. Because, you know, we can look around the world and know that this needs to happen.
Yeah.
And again, not just a gender issue, but quality of feminine and masculine energies that have been wounded and repressed. And what are we doing? So come on, divine feminine. Okay.
Right. Yep. So. And so this gene key 22, the shadow that it expresses, the lower frequency, is dishonor.
Mm.
Dishonor, not just outside of yourself, but how do we dishonor our own selves?
When I hear that word, the first thing that pops into my head is just dishonesty. Yeah.
What are we lying about?
What are we not telling ourselves?
What are we truly lying to ourselves about? And, you know, it goes to grace, which is the highest feminine love we can receive is grace, which is the siddhi. It's the superpower that sits, and it's through the gift of graciousness.
It's so interesting even just to think about this shadow aspect. The way people have been talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
the name calling, the cruelty or the judgment and disregard of certain marginalized populations. Or boy, it just feels like definitely we're in a shadow of dishonoring. And so I'm hearing you say that I guess we're as we work our way through that grace, you know. And what is grace? Can we speak on that?
For me, grace is this energy that we all, it's super tangible when you realize that it's all around you.
It's one of those words that's always been a bit of a mystery to me, and I know I've explored it in different ways. And I think for myself, I guess I've come to some kind of place of somehow or other it's where like me and the divine meet. Somehow or other we match up on a frequency or something happens and we're on the same page. And I think of it like in astrology, we can look for the part of fortune because it's where, you know, the sun, moon, and ascendant comes together. And I just think of that as our highest point, our point of grace. Such a beautiful concept, grace is.
It is. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's, you know, grace is suffering. And we as humans came here to suffer and to come out of suffer because we were given grace, freely through God or whatever higher source for being human, for this human experience, grace was given to us.
Mm-hmm. For being willing to show up
to
here and do
this. To be willing to show up and do the work and to get... But it's like we forget that grace is there. Mm-hmm. And what in working with people, what I've realized is that for some reason, people don't feel that they are deserving of grace.
We all think we're flawed or broken or
baffles
wrong in some way.
That people don't feel that they are worthy to receive grace.
Mm-hmm. So let's think about that middle piece, because that's the gift part we haven't talked about yet, right?
Graciousness. What does that mean to be gracious? To me, that means, and I've been experiencing a lot of this actually over this transit, is the way I respond to receiving non-love, I choose to send back graciousness, mm-hmm. to send love, to when non-love is presented, I give love. And to me, that's being gracious. That's taking a step back, responding in the highest possible manner that my heart can give.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a very authentic response. Many of us, again, were conditioned to be socially polite, which can, it's like masked graciousness because it's not really real. Maybe if we acted enough, we get it or something. But I think that idea of being gracious and kind and just accepting in responses, I don't know, it just seems like it frees us up from getting pulled down into... into the shadow.
Yeah. I always tell people one of the biggest things we can do is accept. Allow. This is, so going with this, the three steps that I share with people about alchemizing suffering, which is grace, is allow, accept, and embrace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we all have some work to do. This is something then that we're all looking at right now. We're all experiencing, and we never really did say those six common wound tenders,
so,
though, did we?
Yeah, no. This actually goes deeper with this six, the six collective wounds that we all hold within ourselves, and we each are having it as a pattern more than others. Is connected to the seven sacred seals. And the seven sacred seals is a deeper mystery school teaching. It's the highest teaching there is. And grace being the first seal or the seventh seal of the teachings. Because they use grace, because we can always go back to it. So as we open up every seal, which is connected to each one of these common wounds, we always can go back to connect to grace as we open each wound.
Okay, so for whatever wound we're experiencing, grace is our way out, graciousness and
for
grace
ourselves, yeah.
For ourselves. I think it as much as we talk about being gracious to other people, I think it is also important to remember that we need it for ourselves too. We can be very hard on ourselves, very critical, very judgmental. Again, back to that, who deserves?
At the end of the day, the more that you can have grace for yourself, the more you will be gracious to others.
Sense. Well, and I want to just read off these wound patterns just because I want people to recognize that we all have these. We all have these patterns, and as you said earlier, we probably have certain ones that we slip into a little easier than others. But I think these can be cues for all of us of our own shadow, like when we're starting to feel these things, there's something going on that we need to take a look at. So the six common wound patterns are repression, denial, shame, rejection, guilt, and separation. And when I think about any of them in relation to my understanding of frequency and vibration, they are all heavy. And so these are all things that as we can bring to the light,
yeah.
Bring out of the shadow and really acknowledge within ourselves I don't even know what words to say, the higher we're going to be able to express ourselves, or all these words feel inadequate. The more enlightened we are, the higher consciousness we are, the more peace we feel. I don't know, all of those things feel relevant.
But. You know, the truth is, with all of this, as I've been working with the Sacred Seven Seals, I've noticed on a physical level and emotional and spiritual, truthfully, is light. Mm-hmm. I feel lighter. Mm-hmm. I feel more expansive. I feel I have more room to let things come in and more room to let things go. Mm-hmm. It's just feel light. Mm-hmm. My mind feels lighter intellectually. Mm-hmm. I'm not using it in the way where it, a lot of times you're second guessing yourself, because I have a lot of error in my astrology chart, so you would think that I'm constantly in my mind, like, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And I just love that whole concept of lighter. It feels freer. It feels more fun. I mean, we're talking on a podcast that's called Soul Up, and I say, you know, lighten up. You know, we're here. I'm a guide to a lighter life. You know, and that's what we're talking about, not everything feeling so heavy or pressured all the time or confusing, or this feels like there's a stability that settles in, a sense of self that just feels a little bit more solid and steady. Isn't there another gene key then too that's really active right now?
Right now we're in a time period, and I know everyone who's probably listening to this knows there's a lot of changes happening, not only within ourselves, with the energy coming in, but also outside of ourselves. And one of the other major gene keys is gene key 55. So gene key 22 is a major gene key, and that is in transit right now. So look at where you need to be more gracious in your life. And then the gene key 55 is kind of where this major change in humanity is happening.
Well, and what I'm intrigued about with this too is the fact that I think we forget that this isn't just all heady stuff out here somewhere. This is something that actually anchors in our body.
Yes.
So when you're talking about these gene keys and the transformation that they're bringing, you're talking about that on a multi-level way.
Multi-level, multi-dimensional, absolutely. It's physically, these genes are mutating within our body. There's start codons, there's stop codons, and so things that are happening, patterns in our body, as we start to become more self-realization and bring more of it into our life, we actually start changing our genes. They start mutating. They start going, oh, she gets it, you know? Uh-huh. And so within ourselves, we're actually reconfiguring our own self, our own DNA.
Makes me so like get excited about the word co-creating, because we can make a difference. It isn't just like, oh, I got that DNA, I'm stuck with it. I got that genetic hand down, or oh, I've got depression, or I've got anxiety, or I've got these pieces that I'm struggling with. I think it's so important for people to know that both the world around us, the energies that come at us, and our reactions to them give us an opportunity to be co-creators. We can make these changes.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's with the 55. Gene Key 55 is the shadow of victimization, the gift of freedom, and the city of freedom. The only gene key that has the same gift is the same city. And I'm getting goosebumps all over my body because that shows up twice in my profile. And I know that I'm here to bring in this new human genotype or this new human into reality.
From victim to freedom.
From victim to conscious, like, and taking away victim consciousness and stepping into Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Letting go, because Christ consciousness is freedom. Mm-hmm. It's literally, for me, what I see is myself as a bird inside of a cage, and I see all of the parts of the cage just diminishing and falling away. And now I have this ability to just be free. I have an ability to have beautiful relationships with people that come and go, but yet there's so much love that's given. The energy is freely felt we're walking away from the physical material world of needing so much things here that we have an ability to coexist in multiple places all at once. Yeah.
I think this is just so relevant also to, again, looking at the world around us. I think so many people have felt they are victims, and we have been in some ways. I mean, that's kind of been the way the structure of the world has been. But we are being given this opportunity now for something different. And the idea of that personal freedom, that self-sovereignty, that's available to us, that we can leave that victim mindset behind and maybe not, I want to say, not play the games. We don't have to get caught in that victim mindset. We can recognize again that we have power and we can be co-creators of our own life and make a difference for ourselves. We get to choose. We have a lot of room for choosing.
I mean, as soon as one person can take responsibility for their humanness, everything changes. Everything.
I found this quote that I want to share. It talks about the 55th gene key and its sister, the 22nd gene key. It says that the 55th describes the evolutionary force, this shift from matter to spirit. And I love that because I just feel like we've been being spiritualized, this whole transit in Neptune and everything that's going on. We're in a process of shifting. Expanding is a better way probably to say it, expanding our human potential and our human experience and evolving into spirit. And the 22nd gene key, on the other hand, describes the involutionary force, that part of coming in. And so from spirit to matter, and so they meet. I mean, it's like this is where like heaven and earth meet. The quote then essentially talked about these two gene keys capturing the quintessence of the great change. We're in a period of great change. Yeah. And so here we are with these tools that we can use to help us. Even if we don't understand anything about all the 64 gene keys or how this all comes together, we can explore just in these themes and what they mean in our own lives.
Absolutely. I know Richard Rudd really describes the 55th gene key as, he uses the symbol of the dragonfly, how the dragonfly is larva in the water. And then it climbs, when it's ready, it climbs up and gets into this chrysalis and then is born and it flies. So we're going from water to air.
In my own profile, the 55th gene key is prominent. To me, that's validation of, because I feel like much of my life has been going from victim to freedom, and I'd like to believe that much of the work that I do with people is helping them go from victim to freedom. And so it just feels very like validating. It's like, oh, I am doing the right thing, and this is, you know, the right path. Even though it's kind of like, oh my God, I was such a victim for so long. We have to go through the things that we go through, and we understand it as we move forward.
Yeah, and it's about letting go of those old stories, those old parts of mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. It's like, but that is no longer me. Mm-hmm. So I can actually go to that whiteboard and erase that part of me because I am here.
Yeah, I bought into those definitions for a long time. So now I've learned that I get to kind of, as you said, erase those definitions and I get to define me.
Freedom truly comes from letting go of definitions, labels, and identities. There's less suffering because that's what we're doing, is we're learning how not to suffer and to understand that everything is simply love. Some of it is unrecognized, and that's why we suffer.
Pretty profound stuff here, Amanda. It would probably be helpful as far as resources. Well, you mentioned the genekeys.com. People can go there and get their profile. You mentioned Richard Rudd. Mm-hmm. And so he's a resource, again, that people can do some exploring through. If anybody would want to connect with you, do you want to share your Facebook? Are you on
Absolutely.
Somewhere?
Absolutely. You can find me on Facebook. It would be under Amanda Arnold. I also, my Instagram is Amanda the Alchemist, mm-hmm. with underscore between all the words. You can find me there as well. Since I've been on the island, the gifts that I have been shown that I have through the emptying is I'm a channel. I'm an open channel. I channel souls that have passed. I channel higher selves. as well as the whole spirit guides and team. I do healing work with angels as well. I've just allowed myself to be a very high energy channeler to allow whatever energy come in and to do the work that they need to do. So if anyone is looking for any kind of work that way, I am here. I have one really amazing thing that has been showing up for me more and more is that I kind of open a portal to help souls that have passed and souls that are still currently here on Earth to go through a level of forgiveness and to let go of some of these core wounds that they may still be holding on to.
And what I love about this, too, is the fact that I do believe that as we rise in consciousness, as we empty and we make room for some of this, I don't know what words to use again, higher order thinking or, you know, peace, joy, all these soul qualities. When we make room for those things, our relationship with spirit changes. We get the opportunity then to, I don't know, have a different relationship. And so then be able to bring forward new gifts because we're operating from a different frequency.
It's all about frequency. It really is. And so out of this whole podcast that we're sharing, if there's one thing you can do is to sit back and look at what's your frequency, what's bringing the frequency down, and what's raising your frequency.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to tell too, right? You either feel good or you feel depleted in some ways.
So look,
something either lifts you up or brings you down.
Yeah, so really pay attention of what's bringing you up and what's bringing you down. And then to make those choices to do more of or let go of.
I hope that this gives people, you know, a glimpse of human design and the gene keys, but even a bigger story of how we can use these tools. There's lots of methods out there that can help us explore our subconscious so that those things that are laying around down there that are in our shadows and interfering with our ability to rise or to function our best, we can become aware of them and do something about them. They aren't a source of shame. They're not something to like avoid because, oh my gosh, you know, what kind of a bad person am I or something. These are all pieces that we all have. We have common wounds, and how do we look at our own shadow and allow ourselves to rise? Everybody can take this journey, and I do believe that we are on a path of greater spiritual expression. Whatever that means, and sometimes I want to take the word spiritual out and just call it life, because I think in some ways we're just understanding our place in the universe on a new level and recognizing the creative impact that we can have on our own lives and in the world around us. So onward we go. Anything else that you would like to add as we wrap up this podcast?
You know, I just want you guys to know that love, that's all we are. That's it. We're only love.
That's our task, to go be that, right? Love is all there. Love is what we are. Love
that's
is all there
are.
Is.
That's it.
It's all we need.
It's all we can be.
It's everything we need. All right. Well, thanks so much, Amanda, for taking some time and hanging out with me today. And, you know, anybody that's listening, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or Amanda. If you find this podcast helpful, please feel free to share it. We are all on a spiritual path here, and that's part of what I want to do is give us all a voice so we can find our way and we can find other ideas on what's working for other people and how are they progressing and how do we support each other on this journey to greaterness together.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Ooh. your time, I will be here by your side. I'm melting just like wax before you. You're soothing every sore spot, smoothing every coarse knot, leaning with my whole soul toward you. Every word you sing, simply let it ring out with that voice sweet as honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Makes sweet all the bitter, and it keeps me warm in the